Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
It's late. Time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know.
We're the hottest show in the place.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3.
Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now. Let's start the show.
Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida. I'm here with today's special co-host, Jillian Chapone.
Hello, hello.
Did I say that right?
You did.
This is like a French, like your husband's French?
He's French, yes.
Like you said last night that, you know, by the way, we were at the Florida's Funniest Comedy Contest last night at the Hard Rock. And, it was a good show, light crowd, you know. Probably the lightest I ever had in a
very
contest.
Very light crowd, yeah.
And I wasn't happy that I was performing to millennials. You know, wasn't good coming out with my wet fat joke.
Millennials.
Yeah. But, you know, it was fun. And so, you know, we competed in that, right? We did that. And what the hell I was saying? Anyway, that's comedy. And by the way, special guest today, speaking of comedy, our headliner who's going to be tonight at Tavolino's, is G. David Howard. He's going to be joining me for a few minutes to talk about. You know, he's the world's the funniest living man.
Yeah, I just met him.
The funniest man alive.
I can't believe I just finally met the funniest man alive. I've right? seen his face everywhere. I know he's a headliner tonight, but I finally just got to meet him. So
yeah. Now, you know, I asked. You know, I'm gonna want to ask him. I'm gonna say, you know, to be the funniest man alive. You know, imagine how many times people come and like challenge you on that. You know, like Bruce Lee, he was like the toughest guy, you know, the badass. So he always had people coming up like, I can take you.
Right.
So I wonder if somebody walks up to him and is like, I'm funnier than you.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Well, you know. But he broke the record. He did like, I don't know, 10 or 12, 15 hours straight.
Oh, my God.
Doing stand-up.
Wow.
Yeah. And like last night, we only had to do 4 minutes.
Wait a minute. 10 or
15 hours, something like that. Yeah, it's in the World Guinness Book of World
Records. Get out of here.
No, I'm serious.
Where did this happen?
I think he did it in a club on the west coast of Florida.
Like when?
I don't remember. Like two, maybe five, 10 years, 8 years ago, something. I don't know.
Two, five, eight.
I don't know. Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story, Jillian.
So this is in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yes.
This guy.
Yeah. G. David Howard. If you look him up, the longest comedy set ever.
Oh, my God. And I get to perform with this guy tonight. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, that's why we don't have any features.
Not just Dougie.
Yeah. That's why we don't have any features tonight.
I might not get any time. He might just take it all.
Yeah. That's it.
Happen,
the guy's
right?
going to want to do 15 hours.
Yeah.
There's going to be people like in Tavolino's at 4 in the morning going, is this over yet? Can you imagine?
I won't be there.
So, but you know, this we had the contest, and I will say this, Abe, very funny young kids from Miami, and
yep.
And chubby kid, cute kid, very funny.
I can't think of his name.
Yeah, but you know, in everything, you know, we've spoken on the show about contests and how,
right?
And you know, in all fairness, those two guys are the best sets of the night.
They did really
yeah.
well,
and
they really
know,
did.
Yeah, you know, again, I was getting grunts and groans. You know, like ooh, like yeah, you know, I made a joke. Like the millennials, you could tell a joke the minute it even sounds remote. It's like an anti-racial joke. You know, in a sense, but they're all right. like, what the fuck, you know?
Yeah, when you talk about animals, it's upsetting to them.
Right. Oh, I was going to tell you, last night, that's what I forgot. You were saying that you were going to go, you had to go pick up Brie.
Yeah, Brie.
Right? Because your husband likes Brie.
Oh, shit.
Right? And that, I mean, that's a French cheese or something?
Yes.
Right? Now, but I thought of a funny joke. I'm saying, you know, my husband likes to eat Brie.
Oh, God.
And you're like, oh, he likes cheese? No, Brie's my girlfriend.
I'm going to use it if it's okay with you.
Hell yeah.
Not only does my son try to steal your jokes, but I'm going to ask you for permission.
Yeah, your son's a joke thief. He's going around telling my jokes in school.
Yeah, he is. My son stole one of Dougie's jokes, and he knows it word for word. And one day, he's always telling me jokes.
Right.
And he repeated it to me, and I said, where'd you get that joke from? And he tried to pull it off. I said, no, I've heard that before. Oh, you remember the guy? I said, you stole Dougie's joke. Wait till I tell him on you.
Yeah, well.
He told it well.
What time did he get home from school?
In remember, five,
do you remember
four.
What, you remember what joke it was, by the way?
It was the blast-off joke at the bar five, four, yeah, three, okay. Two, or three, two, one. Yeah, he loves that.
The NASA joke.
Yeah, it's a good joke for a nine-year-old.
Yeah.
He loves it.
Thanks.
It's very appropriate.
I told that joke in West Virginia, Charleston, West Virginia once.
Did they get it?
Yeah, they got it. One lady goes, that's stupid.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, no, you know it's stupid when a lady in West Virginia
tells me it's stupid. Yeah, she said it's stupid.
It's yeah. stupid, for it sure. Is, it is stupid. But I was thinking of that joke for you. I was thinking, you know what?
I'm going to use it.
Yeah, he loves to eat brie.
It's great.
Know? That's our favorite stripper at the Goldfinger.
Oh God, Brie! Right? It's good.
I tried a new joke, and actually, because it was written here on the show, me and Peter Leonard. But that was a joke about the cats.
You wrote that in talking. Yeah, just came up. Yeah, it's great.
And I thought it was a great. It was a new opener. I was
it
excited.
Is a good joke.
And the joke is hey, I knew it was going to be awkward when my wife and I first met. I'm a dog person. I ask her, hey, you like dogs or cats? She goes, oh, no, I'm allergic to cat. I go, great. I go to her house. She's got five fucking cats. I'm like, what's the deal with the cats? She goes, oh, I can't eat them. And everybody,
it's an awful thing to say.
Really?
Not good.
See, and when you're in a contest, when that happens, it's like, that's the funny thing about contests. Like, you basically really know let's say you're doing 5 minutes. You basically know within the first couple minutes.
Right.
If you're even going to be in the running.
Yeah.
Because you got to come out and ba-boom. You got to hit them strong with the first. Like, I was going to come out my Ron Jeremy joke.
Yeah.
I was going to just open with that joke and just win them over.
Yeah, but they're like such young kids there. I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, that was why. I was like, no, they're like, they don't know who it is. And then there was that one guy in the front that guy looked like he was, he had a hat. He had like a serious look.
Oh my God. Yeah. He was staring me down like, make me laugh, bitch. Yeah. I don't think you can make me laugh. That was like written on his forehead.
Yeah. He was like,
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. He was a dick.
Yeah. He was a dick.
He was sitting
on
the front.
I hope he's listening right now. Come on over to Tavolino's. Did I say that right? Come on over, dick.
Yeah. People call it Travolino's, Tambolino's, Trombolones, the chocolate candy from England. Tabalonia. Isn't that what Tabalonia was in Prince's Girlfriend?
Oh, probably. Something
I don't
like
know if it was
that.
Tabalonia or Vagina. What was her name? Yeah, Labia.
Whatever.
Vagina Labia. That was his girlfriend's name. This is my last Florida's Funniest.
Oh, don't say that. For fun. Dougie, you were the best out of everybody. Come on. You know that. You've been doing this. These are like new people doing it a couple of years, young kids. Come on. Yeah, yeah.
But I've never advanced in Florida's Funniest.
Whatever.
But that's what I'm saying.
You
so
can't.
It's like,
you're going backwards just being in it. You're doing it for fun.
But that's
like,
why
how do you advance
that's
in
why
that?
Why should I be there?
You can't put an hour in 4 minutes. How do you do that?
Yeah.
Come on, you do an hour.
By the way, you got good advice. You got advice from Razor.
Oh, how was that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, wait a minute. Are you a comedian? I thought his eyes were going to fall right out of
his
head.
Yeah, he kind of like you a comedian. Like, what the fuck you think I'm doing here, bitch?
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
No, he didn't say that. I'm just acting. That's my Razor
well, his
guy.
Well, I said that.
Yeah.
No, yeah. He's great. We like Razor. He gave us, you didn't need any pointers, but he gave me some good tips last night since, I'm new in the game 2 years in, so.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
Yeah, those of you, I forgot to take a photo with David, dang it, but we're going to take a photo. You can go to our fan page on Facebook, Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, or we'll post it on Twitter. We'll take a photo. Now, Jillian, she's an actress, she's a model, she's a beautiful woman, and, somebody said.
I try.
Yeah, somebody said, like I joked one time, you were on stage before me, and you did jokes, and you're like, oh, my ex-boyfriend, he treat this and that, and da-da-da, and I went up there, bullshit, your ex-boyfriend right now is jerking off thinking about
you. Yeah, I can't get a guy,
Yeah, it's like, woe is me, you can't do that, but what do you think? I mean, I would think it helps you. It helps in a great deal. Like, wow, people are like, I want to, especially the guys, they want to pay attention. And then, but the women, you ever have a deal where you got the women kind of jealous and you want to, you want to come off as, oh my God, she's funny and sexy. He's really going
to
leave me.
I have to win the women over right away. And before they meet me, and it's been this whole way my entire life and probably for a lot of, women and men too.
Right.
They judge you in the first couple seconds of what you are. And then, as soon as I start talking, they realize, wow, she's just like one of the guys, like I'm not intimidated by her at all.
Yeah.
My husband, he's not going to like her because she's like, guys don't like me once they get to know me. They don't really want me as their wife or their girlfriend.
Well, you're not putting out
but
at
their
all.
Buddy.
They're like, fuck her. She won't let me touch her.
Oh, God. I won't even, you know, that's it. It's a, yeah. No, they
now,
know.
Now, how long have you been married to the Brie Eater?
We just had our 1 year anniversary.
Wow, that's
in
right.
October.
That's right, because you guys got married right when we had
on the
show.
Fly. Yeah.
When we did the show over there at Stardust. Where do we have that?
Yeah, with Bob Levy. Yeah. That was about a year ago. Yeah.
Yeah, it was right around that
time.
That
was fun.
Yeah, it was
with good the
stuff.
Little food in the back. That was
yeah, the catered, the catering over at the Starlight. It was actually funny because we had some good shows there, and then it just kind of dissipated.
Oh, it was a packed. It was packed that night. It was very busy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We had like that was a great show. When Steve Marshall was there, it was packed.
Yeah,
we had a few. Then it was like, wow, this is they're going to turn this into a comedy place. And then like, well, let's slow down.
Yeah, they had you and Bob Levy there that night. You know, they don't typically get such good talent. So
now,
what are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem in comedy, like when running one-nighter shows and stuff like that. I've spoken about this before. It's comedy clubs sometimes don't like it because, you know, if it's an outlaw show, meaning just a young comic running a show and putting up a bunch of young comics doing maybe too much time, that kind of stuff, then the show people go to, they're like, oh, this is horrible. You know what I mean? And then they don't ever want to go to a show again.
Sure. So that's a bad rap.
Right. So now I'm not going to go to comedy. I'm going to go bowling.
Right.
You know, and that's a problem.
But they got to fill it in. So it's kind of a problem, you know.
But then at the same time, then comics need stage time. Comics,
right.
You know, they can't keep waiting for open mics once a month and all that kind of stuff. But you're keeping busy.
Yeah, I keep him busy. I was doing a little bit too much over the past few months. I kind of slowed down a little bit.
Right.
Just trying to do the big shows like this one tonight at Tavolino's.
Yeah.
And, my husband was complaining. He's like, you know, it's a typical thing when you're with a comic. A lot of relationships get destroyed. They don't work out. They don't get it.
Right.
They don't get it. It takes a while.
Now, let me ask you, because my wife's, you know, gung-ho on this one, but I was with her a long time. I
You've
bought
been
the house.
How long with her?
We're like over 20 years.
Oh, there. So long, she's
you know.
In.
Yeah.
You know, you're, I mean, you're in.
I mean, I had money. You know, I had money when we, you know, I got to that point, and I'm like, I want to be a comic. She's like, okay, fine. Oh. The house paid? Okay, good.
The house to pay for. It's good.
That don't be racist. Now,
you did it first.
I can't.
No.
Yes, I can. I'm married. See,
you can.
See, I can't be going.
Go
Ooh.
Ahead. Make fun of Jerome.
I can't
make
go.
Make fun of him. Yeah, you can.
I want to
eat
some brie.
Oh,
see,
yes.
that's me. I'm being racist.
No, go ahead. It's good. You did that good.
Yeah,
you did better than
my French accent.
Yes.
I don't know. But she's all for it. Like, she's very supportive.
That's awesome.
And
it's not typical for a woman.
Right.
Now, usually they try to stop you.
Like, for example, I'm on the road a lot. So my friends and my friends' wives go, how does your wife put up with that? You know, I'm like, well, for example, like, she's going to France
there
for a week. So when I'm away 3 or 4 days.
With Jerome. No, I'm
yeah, she's leaving with.
She's going to visit Jerome.
He nicknamed me Brie.
Okay.
So that's like a trade-off.
Yeah,
I think it was last summer. She went away for 2 weeks with her sister and her cousin. They went on a road trip, Colorado, went to all these different places. You know, it's like.
It's give and take, people. It's give and
yeah,
take.
Yeah, that's it. So I'm gone 25, 30 weekends a month, a year,
it's
whatever.
It's a perfect relationship.
And then she's gone, you know, for like 2 or 3 weeks.
Night, perfect.
That's it.
That's how you've been married for so long.
Now, you guys only been married a year, so you guys stuck. Are you stuck, like, stuck together? Like,
yes. Like, or together constantly.
Yeah.
It's fine. He drove me here tonight.
Right.
2 hours in the car, you know.
Wow.
But he's a slow driver, but I can't complain. I'm here alive.
Was he driving one of those, like, little shitty Renaults?
Oh.
He drive, like, a French Fiat Renault?
It's a Saab.
Oh, God. A Saab?
It's a Saab.
A French guy who drives a Swedish car?
It's a Saab.
You know, my dad, who's an auto mechanic, you know, he lived in Europe. And then he moved to the United States with Ford. They moved from Spain and Gibraltar. And, he moved from with the World's Fair in New York in the 60s.
Right.
And he came here with Ford. And he was a mechanic. So I remember the first time, I think it was in college, I told my dad, I said, hey, I want to buy a car. I'm looking at the Saab, you know, S-Turbo, whatever. He's like,
oh, here we go.
He's like, Saab. He goes, you know why that's a Saab? That they call it a Saab? Because when you buy it, it's a Saab story. It's a fucking Saab story. That car, like, you got to get a brakes.
Oh,
it's like $850.
God. Oh, shit. He came with the car, so, you know.
Oh, so when you met him, he had the Saab?
Yeah, he had the Saab. So
you didn't, like, look at the car and go, fuck, that guy drives
a
Saab.
No.
It's so comfortable. I feel like I'm sitting in an airplane, but
it's so low. It's so tiny inside, but hey, it's what we have for now.
Well, again, at least he's not driving like a Renault. Yeah. Or like a Fiat.
I don't even know what a Renault. I know what a Fiat is. I don't know what the
first
Renault
one. Yeah, Renault basically translated in English means piece of shit.
Oh, I mean, it's, piece of shit.
Yeah,
okay.
Renaults are, you know, French.
Okay.
French cars are horrible.
Oh, God.
You might as well get like a piece of French bread and put like some, some stick some wheels into it and like ride it to work.
Oh, God.
You know, French, terrible car.
Really?
Terrible. It's like listen,
they're
not
good
a big,
at food.
Listen,
they're good at sex.
Absolutely. I mean,
there
listen,
you go.
If
food
you're gonna,
and sex.
If
there you go. We don't need a car. We're not going anywhere.
If you're
going
to be good at something.
Yeah.
You know, oh, we make good cars. Well, nice. Yeah. Well, guess who's banging your wife? The French guy. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
All right. So anyway, here's a little point. Like as a comic, you know, you pull up certain things. You know, I don't know. You know who Stephen Hawking?
Yeah, of
right?
course I know.
The smartest guy.
I watch him all the time.
Yeah, like we're going
to
have the
him.
Funniest man alive.
Yeah.
I guess Stephen Hawking's considered... The smartest
yeah,
man alive.
Yeah, I listen to him all the
it's
time.
It's either him or that Japanese guy with the long hair, that great head of hair.
Yeah, I watch him all the time, too.
Yaki Yokomoku.
I'll think of his name. Drum and I watch him. These are the people I get my comedy from.
So. Yeah? These guys?
Well, I love how they think. That's who I listen to watch. And Elon Musk. I mean, people probably don't think I would expect that, but that's what I watch.
Yeah. Well, here's a little news.
I don't watch TV.
I'm going to use it tonight. One of my jokes from the news. The fattest man. There's the fattest man alive.
Do you know him? I suppose you know
there
this?
Is. There is a guy. It's a true story. It's today in the news.
Oh, God.
The fattest man alive.
He's in Florida.
His name is Pablo. He lives in Mexico.
Oh, he's in Mexico.
Yeah, and he weighs 1,100 pounds. Okay?
Wow.
I guess Trump doesn't have to worry about him jumping over the wall.
Hey, that's a good one.
You know what I'm saying? Could you imagine Pablo? He's really going to piss off Trump. 1,100 fucking pound dude's going to pole vault.
Right. I wish he was already here and then try to.
Yeah,
was like
get him
a
back
big
over.
Criminal and try to send him back.
Yeah, don't let that fucker get
he'd
over.
He'd have to take the wall down to get him back over, right?
It's going
to
be like he's going to be like Angry Birds.
Oh,
they're going to put Pablo in a big fucking slingshot when Trump builds the wall.
Oh shit!
They're going to grab Pablo and stick him in there, and all these Mexicans pull further back, man. And, you know, he's going to fucking knock the wall to hell.
Oh, God.
He's going to be like the Mexican Kool-Aid guy. Anyway, well, Stephen Hawking, he puts an expiry date on humanity.
Hmm.
You know, he's not very keen about humans.
No.
Yeah, he thinks we're all fuck-ups.
Yeah, yeah.
He's probably been too many.
Because he's not one, you know.
Yeah, someone said he's an alien,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he is, probably. That's why he talks like that.
Yeah,
he can't
walk. I got something fucked up in my throat.
Yeah, he pretends like he has, that he's just an alien.
He's just like, he's not getting used to the Earth's atmosphere.
Right, that's what
right?
He is.
He's like, he's got gills.
He can't breathe.
The only reason
exactly.
he's got his chin down like that because he's got gills and he doesn't want anybody to see it.
Yeah.
It's like a high school kid trying to hide a hickey. He's got fucking gills. That's why he's like that. Stephen Hawking believes that humanity has less than 1,000 years on Earth. Well, I guess I'm okay then.
Yeah, as long as we're okay. That's
before mass extinction occurs.
Yeah.
So you can't blame it on Trump. The leading theoretical physicist said during speech on Tuesday at Oxford University in London, or in UNK. According to Hawking, the only way humans can avoid the possibility of extinction was to find another planet to inhabit.
Oh, we already did that. Mars. Come on, people.
Yeah, we're all going.
Elon Musk.
Yeah, they're gonna have a TV show about it, right?
And he's I don't know,
on it.
Probably.
It's like a documentary
but
show.
I'm going. I probably, when I'm like...
Did you sign up for it?
Not yet, but
well, the list already went up.
Come it's on, like, stop it.
It's like, yeah, the list goes up at 7:30.
Stop.
And the people going to Mars, they'll know by 8.
This isn't an open mic. Stop it.
Yeah, it's an open mic to Mars. They're going to have everybody gets 5 minutes on the red planet.
I'm there.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like you can't live in fucking Mars.
Well, so, you have a choice, I guess. Mars or die.
They keep talking about the Earth-like planets. Like, oh, this planet's, you know, we found out through the Hubble telescope and through this and that, there's a planet that's in this habitable zone, right? Like Earth is to the sun. And it's like, it's just like Earth. I mean, it's 1,000 degrees hotter and 1,500 degrees colder in the winter.
Perfect.
And yeah, and there's like fiery lakes and shit, but it's just like Earth.
Yeah. It sounds like it figuratively, but not really.
So he thinks that's the only way we're going to go if we find another fucking place. But yeah, I mean, you see him sitting there, he's like...
Well, he could say whatever he wants because we'll never know. And we're not going to be here.
Like, yeah, who's going to sit there and go, you were fucking wrong, dude? You know what I mean?
You're wrong. We're up in Mars.
We have...
1,000 years old.
1,000 years left before we have... to fucking find another planet. I'll be here.
How old are you, Steven? How old do you think he is?
Oops, I'm sorry, I was speaking in tongues.
He's probably like 2 million years old.
He is. He's look at him. He fucking looks like a piece of Stonehenge that fell off. There was I just read this. I was going to pull it up for the show, but archaeologists found something like unearthed it. It was like it's like 10 times the size of Stonehenge, but it's like a big monolithic.
Wow.
Yeah, stone.
What?
Where
do you get this information?
Listen, I read. I don't.
What
you
are
know,
you doing?
What do I do? Sit home and make, write jokes all day?
Oh, okay.
I don't have time for that.
No.
I'm telling you. But this is what we do on the show. We come up with stuff. And,
yeah,
you know,
it's stuff I haven't heard. It's great. Right. I'm glad I came over.
Right.
Yeah, it's
well,
good.
Welcome. So, hey, we're going to take a break.
Oh, okay.
And here's what we're going to do. I'm going to let you go and hang out with Bree.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bree Eater.
Yeah.
And then G. David's going to come in. We're going to talk
Perfect.
A little bit. And then we're going to come back. And then what we're going to do is I got stupid funny stories.
Oh, perfect.
So this is like you can like as a comic, you say, okay, I'm going to this is how you really banter and
Perfect.
Trying to come up with funny
I have
things.
A couple. I have
there
a couple from today.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
All right. Bye-bye.
No, don't say bye. We'll be back.
Bye-bye. Be back.
Hey, this is Steve Marshall, and you're listening to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. And if there's anybody who likes to wake up late, it's me.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, and I'm here with special guest G. David Howard, the funniest man alive.
How you doing, Dougie?
How you doing, buddy?
Good, man.
We have a lot of mutual friends, and
we do indeed.
I've heard a lot about you, and you know, I'm trying to remember who it was. I posted that you're going to be on the show. It may have been Frank Del Pizzo. I was like, how'd you get him there? I'm like, well,
Lou Angel Wolf and Mike Rivera, but Lou, when he first started out, he was Large Lou. They called
yeah,
him. Large Lou Angel Wolf. And I have my own club in Clearwater.
Right.
And he and Ron Bennington and all that group would come by and ask me if they could get up and do 5 or 6 minutes.
Sure.
So that's how they got started, was at my club. And I at some point during my show, because back in those days, believe it or not, I did for many years a four-hour show. I went on stage at 9:30, walked off at 1:30. No break.
So, yeah, this needs to be discussed. All right.
Yeah.
I'd heard about this. Like, you know, you're going to be at Tavolino's tonight.
Right.
We've been running the show for 3 years now, over 3 years. It's been great. Weekly show.
Right.
And the show is basically an hour and a half, okay, for the most part. And, you know, like, for the most part, you think that's the usually 90 minutes is the attention span, in a sense.
Right.
For what they say. You know, the business, that's a comedy show.
Yeah.
But you ran a room. Over there, and like you said, you know, Ron Bennington, who's you know from Bennington on satellite radio,
right.
the Ron and Fez show, the Ron and Ron show, and of course Lou, you know Angel, and these guys. So they show up, young guys at that time.
Yeah, and at some point during my show, I'd introduce them and invite them up.
Right,
and they go up and do 4 or 5 minutes. And Bennington did one of the funniest things because my stage, I had built the room, and my stage had 2 columns against the back wall,
right,
and a shelf built in between. For me to put my drink and so on. I never thought about that looking like an altar.
Yeah.
But I guess it did, and it did. So Bennington's up one night, and he said, all of us young comics, we really appreciate G. David letting us get our start here and do some time. But before we can do anything, we have to say the comedy prayer.
Yeah.
So he turned his back to the audience, got down on one knee, and he said, oh, G. David, our comedy father, Howard be thy name.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, he coined that deal.
Now, how great was that? Now, you had your own room. It was your show. It's like it's like Vegas.
Yeah, I did it that way for years. I first came down from Ohio. I was down in Naples.
Right.
At a place called the Witch's Brew.
Yeah.
And it was 6 nights a week. And I went there on a 1 week contract. And they kept renewing me. And I stayed 53 weeks.
Wow.
53 straight.
That, you know, I was, I've been at the Witch's Brew several years back. I'm talking about late 90s.
Yeah.
And that was a pickup joint.
Oh, it was afterwards.
Yeah.
When I went there, it was in the 70s. And but it was a happening.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was because I was so good.
No.
Because there wasn't anything else to do.
Now, how was Naples in the 70s? Because, you know, it's kind of like a low key, it's, you know, in a sense.
It was fabulous. Yeah. I had no idea it was going to grow to be what it became.
Right.
In fact, I bought a house there in 75, and 76, 77, I moved to Clearwater. I bought the house for $90,000, sold it for $145,000. I thought I did good. Mm-hmm. Years later, I'm back down there doing a show, and I asked somebody, the house I used to live in Pine Ridge there, what do you think that's worth now? Oh, it just sold yesterday for $1.2
million. Yeah.
I thought, oh, my God.
Why didn't I hold it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the same thing sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
I sold Amazon when I bought it like $150,000. I sold it $380,000. I go, how much further can it go? You know, I went up to $800,000.
Yeah.
But those are the calls you make. And so all right, let's, the funniest man alive. That's, you know, I'm just wondering how often you got to like revote, get, you know, there's got, you know, cause this, imagine this, it's like you got to deal with a bunch of people like, hey, wait a minute, I want that title.
Well, I grabbed that moniker when I made the Guinness Book of World Records.
Right.
And when I was doing the 4-hour show, and I was doing that 6 nights a week. I did that. I was at the Hilton, for example. Now, I went from Naples to Clearwater, to the Hilton on Clearwater Beach. And I went there on a 4-week contract, and I stayed 5 years.
Wow.
I'm 5 years, 52 weeks a year. I'm telling you, I did one stretch 212 consecutive weeks.
First of all, it's great to say that you could do that much, get that much stage time and have a show. And yeah. Not have to get on an airplane.
Right.
Not have to get, you know what I mean? Drive, yeah. You know.
Well, it was so funny when I played my first comedy club. It was the Comedy Stop at the Trop in Las Vegas.
Right.
And that was the first time I'd ever done a show with any other comedians.
Oh, yeah.
Because I always did a one-man thing. I just walked on and said hello. And
I know. And you and I talked about the headlining. You were like, well, don't worry about any opening acts.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, you know. And it's fun, Ed, the owner who you meet, you know, he's a musician, he's a drummer, he's an artist, so he's not just, you know, a club owner that's just like, what's the bottom line? He, you know, he's got a little more emphasis for us artists, and he loves us. He thinks we're the last bastion of free speech.
You know,
that's why he loves comedy.
Yeah.
And so I said, oh, by all means. And then the record in the Guinness Book of World Records. There was a young kid here in South Florida that said he was going to challenge that record.
Well, my record actually can't technically be broken.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. When I started doing it, the record was held by an English comic by the name of Johnny Kay, and it was 8 hours. And I'm thinking, I can do 8 hours standing on my head.
All right. Now, that's 8 hours. He did it 8 hours without stopping.
Right.
And there was actually people watching, or he did this in front of a camera?
I have no idea. He did it in England.
Okay.
So anyway, I did 10 hours down in Fort Myers and broke his record, but I didn't get my documentation over to Guinness in time to get it in the book.
Ah, okay.
So then I screwed up again and did New Orleans. I did 12 hours, and I still couldn't get it there because he was in England.
Right.
So he could do it right next door to the Guinness place and just walk his stuff over.
Right.
I'm having to mail it and whatever. Anyway,
and he probably had something. He probably sabotaged. He's like, I'm not going to let that guy beat me.
Yeah.
I'm going to let the Yank. The Yank's going to beat me. He's did 12 hours. How did he do it?
So finally I did 13 hours and 47 minutes.
Wow.
But by that time I'd wised up a little bit and I had some connections and I had a friend that used to run a hotel in England and I said, well, find out. And because just Johnny Kay was doing it the same day I was doing, or the same weekend. I said, find out how much time he did so I know what I got to do.
Right. Now, did he know you were coming? Is that why he went out and he thought he would go out and do a preemptive strike?
I don't know if he knew or not. I don't know. But anyway, we set this whole thing up where another friend of mine had an uncle in Brooklyn. And so what we had to do, you have to have a guest book.
Right.
At the entrance to the lounge. And a notary public at the door. And each person had to sign in name, address, phone number, the whole deal, time. And each page of the guest book had to be notarized.
Right.
And so then you had to take all that and get that packaged up and sent to Guinness. So what we did, I was fearful. I didn't want to do it too far. I had to give him time to come back and beat me.
Right.
So I did it at the last minute, but we ran to Tampa Airport, dropped off the package, sent it to my friend's uncle in Brooklyn. He met the plane, tore the outside wrapper off, put it back on the plane to another friend in England, who went to the airport, picked it up, and hand-carried it to Guinness.
Took it right there, knocked on the door. Got that's, something for you, mate.
That's how I got it.
Nice. So you did, what was it?
That was 13 hours and 47 minutes, I believe.
It was recorded or just witnessed with all the documentation?
Just witnessed. We had 1,000 people.
Wow. All right, so 13. Now tell me what this is like.
Then the next year, I broke my own record and did 16 hours, and that's when John A.K. gave up. But what I want to tell you is, when we were doing that, Guinness didn't allow any breaks in that category. It had to be nonstop. So when I did the 16, Guinness sent me a letter, and they said, we're accepting your record. It'll be published. However, our medical staff looked at this, and they said 16 hours is too long for someone to go without a break, without going to the bathroom. And
you didn't go to the bathroom for 16 hours?
No.
Like, I have to ask, were you wearing like...
No.
No? What happened? You just
mind over bladder.
Really?
Yeah.
So you like got a Zen type.
Well, actually, what we did, we had a fail safe.
Right.
We put up those circular shower curtain things.
Right.
And I had the little hand urinal like you use in your bed in the hospital.
Yeah.
Had that back there, just in case. But I never had to.
I would have just got like a Gatorade bottle.
I didn't have to.
Yeah, the
do
big
it.
Wide one.
Yeah.
That's, you know, because people have asked me, we talked about having you on the show, they're like, and I said, it's amazing. And they're like, well, was there like a break for bathrooms?
No.
Was there, no. So you just kept going.
So anyway, Guinness that year changed the rules. So starting the very next year, they were allowing allowing a 5-minute break every hour on the hour, or you can do up to 12 hours, accumulate the break time and take an hour off.
That's interesting.
So the whole thing's a different thing now. But I was the last one to do it nonstop.
Well, let me ask you. Now, I don't know if that matters to you since you've already broken the record. And you're really like, you know, you made them change the parameter. That's got to be exciting right there.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You know, that's like, I don't want to be rude, but it's like entering a penis contest and go, hey, we need a bigger ruler for this guy. That would be, you know, you'd be like, hey, they got to break out the yardstick. So, you know, so that's impressive. But now I'm wondering if you ever felt like doing it again, if you could do that one, you have 5-minute break every hour. And you said, you know what, and, you know, maybe I could turn this into like a Jerry Lewis telethon, you know, and do like 3 days.
You know, I've only talked about doing that with Jackie the Joke Man.
Yeah.
He called me and he said, you know, you own the world's record for joke telling. I'm Jackie the Joke Man. We could do a hell of a thing if we booked a theater somewhere.
Absolutely.
And I stand on one side of the stage or on the other. I tell one, you tell one. I tell one, you tell one.
Have a backdrop like a old Western town, you know what I mean? You guys come out in cowboy outfits.
Yeah, that might be fun to do.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
I want to be a part of that. I want to direct it. A matter of fact, we ought to reach out to the people here at the Coral Springs Performing Arts Center, see if we can put that together.
Yeah.
Heck yeah, man. Listen, I'm a businessman, comic. Listen, you've seen me when we came in.
Yeah.
I had a phone in my hand. I had my wife had me ironing clothes. I'm not, you know, I could do anything. But that to me is, now here's the thing too. That's 16 hours.
Right.
That's 16 hours of, you can't repeat material.
No, there was nothing repeated.
Yeah. You're not repeating material. You're not like telling a joke a different way.
No.
Right. You're not saying two Jews walk in a bar. Oh, wait a minute. You know, two Arabs walk in a bar.
No. It was all different stuff.
Now, how do you accumulate that much material?
You know, I don't know. I started in about the second grade.
Yeah.
I really did. Yeah. I had a, you know, those little ring notebooks you could get that had like six ring thing.
Yeah, like a 3-ring binder they usually call them.
Yeah.
Like the metal ones, you'd clomp, clomp, and you can actually like impale yourself on those things if you mess up.
They're small. They're like three by six or something like that. And I had one of those, and every time I heard a joke, whether my dad telling it or an uncle telling it or some other kid telling it or whatever, I'd write it down.
Sure.
And I collected these jokes for years, just for years. And before I ever began to write, and when I first started doing stand-up, there weren't any comedy clubs back then.
Yeah.
So I was a bit of a trailblazer because I had to go into Holiday Inn lounges or Ramada Inn lounge and talk them into trying comedy.
Yeah.
They used to having bands, you'd have a trio or a duo or whatever. And I, well, why don't you try comedy once, you know? And but I kind of felt like I can't just go up there and tell jokes. Anybody can tell jokes.
Right, yeah.
So I had to write material, and so I did. And so for years, I avoided doing jokes in my show. And then one night, I'm watching Billy Crystal, who I dearly love.
Yeah,
guy. I think Billy is just one of the greatest talents ever. His range, all the, his, all the stuff he's capable of doing is incredible. And so he's absolutely one of my favorites. So I'm watching him do an HBO special. And right at the end of the show, he said, y'all like jokes? He said, I love jokes. He said, I'd like to close the show with a couple of jokes. So he told two or three old jokes. I knew the jokes.
Right.
I knew the punchline. Of course, he told them great. You know, he was just an incredible storyteller.
Acting them out and voices.
Yeah, and the accents he could do. And so, but anyway, so he told three old jokes. Wow. Now, if Billy Crystal can tell jokes in his show, then who the hell am I to be so proud that I can't stoop to telling a joke?
Right.
So I now I do a little segment in my show after I've been on for an hour, 15 or whatever.
Right, yeah.
I'll say, okay, y'all want to hear some jokes, you know, and I do a little joke segment. And, you know, 15, 20 minutes of jokes. People love jokes.
Yeah, absolutely. I a friend of mine, Lenny Travis. I don't know if you know him.
No,
he's the bald guy and the wise guy.
I saw his picture here.
Yeah. And you know, he'll say, "Oh, yeah, want to hear some jokes? You want dirty or clean?" You know.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, this is a day and age too in comedy. Comedy's changing. You know, I style myself as a more traditional comic. You know, there's a lot of what they say the modern a comic or the alternative comic. You know, older comics say, the ones that don't really tell jokes are not funny. But there's a difference. You know, sometimes I saw a comic do that, and it was killing. I can't remember if it was in Oklahoma or where the hell I was. And some guy did that, and the one young comic who was just there, I won't mention, he says, "Oh, man, he's just telling old jokes." I'm like, but it's an entertainment. He's, the people loving it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is a guy, you can tell this guy's already done shows. He's not going to wait for HBO at this point. This guy wants everybody to have fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So lighten up, you little schmuck.
Yeah.
That's my point. Anyway.
Well, it's like years ago, I had a club in Fort Myers, and I just started playing Vegas. So when I'd get booked out to Vegas, I'd book somebody.
To cover.
Into my show. And I'd booked somebody, I can't remember who it was now. And so I called my wife, because she was home running the club. I said, "How's this guy doing?" She says, "Oh, honey, he looks awful. He's got tattoos all the way from his shoulders down to his wrists, and he just doesn't look like he's ever washed his hair. He just is a mess. I said, "What's the audience doing?"
Right.
She says, "Oh, they're dying." I said, "No problem."
Yeah.
"What's the problem? As long as the audience is laughing, that's all that's
important." I remember hearing early in my comedy career, it's like, listen, to most comedy club owners, it's about the audience. If they hear the audience laughing, they don't care.
Yeah.
You know, they don't care what you're doing up there. The people are paid. They're happy. They're going to go home and be happy.
Yeah. The only thing, the only guy that everybody ever worked for that cared was the guy that owned the Comedy Stop at the Trop.
Yeah.
And he'd put these signs up in the dressing room. Do your TV set. And don't, we can't use the big F. No F word.
Yeah.
And, you know John Knight?
No, I've never met him, but I know the name.
He's funny.
Yeah.
Funny cat.
Yeah.
He kills me. So he was middling for me one time at the Trop, and I'm backstage, and I can hear the audience said, they're dying. Now, I'm the headliner, and that's scaring the hell out of me because I got to follow this guy now, and he's having a killer set.
He's crushing, yeah.
He's just killing. So, but what Kephart did, one smart thing he did, he'd have – the opening act would go back out after the middle act and do 5 minutes before he brought the headliner.
A little transition, a little less smooth over.
Yeah, so take a little of the heat off. And so I'm backstage when John came backstage, and the owner of the Comedy Stop looked at John. He said, "John, I counted 9 F words in that set." Now, the guy got a standing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and Bob's back there telling him I counted 9. And John looked at him real funny and he said, "You got way too much time on your hands."
Actually, there was 10. You're losing count. Yeah, something like that. I'm still at the stage of my career where I'm always nervous, you know, especially if it's a new club. I've never worked.
Yeah.
You know, I'm usually clean. You know, I'm not like clean, but I'm not, you know, I'm effing bomb this.
Right, yeah.
I think I dropped the F bomb in one of my punchlines because it's part of the punchline. But that's it. You know what I mean? We always say we get a lot. I always say I get a lot more work because I am clean.
Yeah, sure.
You know, a lot of people, you know, you want to come up and some guy opens. Yeah, I was at a show not too long ago. The guest spot came out and dropped the up bomb 10 or 15 times. I should have had something better to do. But, you know, I was worried because I was going to follow him.
Yeah.
You know, and what am I going to hit him with? You know, I actually came out and just said it three times ago. Whew, I got that out of the way, everybody. I just want to make sure I'm, you know, I'm joining the club.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of fun. Well, listen, I appreciate you coming into town. I appreciate you coming into Tavolino's and doing our show tonight.
Yeah.
And you're going to love the place.
You're going to be down there, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, good, cool.
Yeah, no, I got some other guy with tattoos and hadn't showered in weeks. He's going to host. I'm going to sit home and help my wife put the Christmas tree up. But she's doing, by the way. I don't know if you noticed. Yeah, my wife's going to France with her sister and her mom for Thanksgiving week. So I'm home by myself. You know, that means like raviolis on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a bad time for me. Anyway, but I want to thank you again. G. David Howard, the funniest man alive. How can people follow you? What's
gdavidhoward.com.
There you go, guys. And
Or on Facebook.
That's right. And guys, when we come back, I'll be back with our co-host, Jillian Chapone, who her and her French husband, when I met him, I walked up to him and I said, he stood up and I go, hey, what are you going to do? Surrender? Calm down, you know. He's going to come over here and surrender on me. Anyway, I was just joking. But thanks again, buddy. Thanks for joining us.
Man.
And
enjoyed it.
We'll be back with Jillian and some news and all kinds of stuff.
Hey, this is Pete Lee, and you're listening to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, because it's late, and I just woke up.
And we're back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's straight from the headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Yeah. Welcome back. The Wake Up Late with Dougie show. It's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things that have happened around the world and make fun of it.
Oh, yay!
Of course, with my co-host today, Jillian Chapone.
Woohoo!
Thanks, by the way, for G. David Howard, funniest man alive, for joining us today. That was very interesting. Yeah, over 15, 16 hours he was on stage.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and he did it, and Guinness was like, somebody watched it, and somebody on, some humanitarian went, holy God, the guy, because he didn't piss.
Oh.
No bathroom
There's
break.
Where I would lose.
No, but
right
that, now Guinness went in there and said, well, listen, this is unhuman, inhuman. You can only, for every hour, you get a 5-minute break.
Right.
So, if you do 5 hours, you can get a 50-minute break. You know what I mean? You could just take an hour. And,
right.
So they structured it now and made it easier.
Okay. So Guinness has all the rules. A
bunch of pussies.
And regs.
Okay. That's right. They're controlling everything. Here's a story. Iceland breaks taboo with world's largest penis museum.
Iceland?
That's right.
Should it be in Africa?
Now listen. I don't know if you...
Oh, it's not true.
I played soccer with guys from Iceland and Reykjavik.
Really?
Yeah, and those guys, you know...
Iceland.
I mean, most of them look like anteaters because none of them are circumcised.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I know what that's all about. Yeah.
Yeah, you're a Frenchie guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's not circumcised, right?
Well, no.
Yeah, it's like going out with somebody with a hoodie.
It's a nice change, you know?
Yeah? Always wearing a hoodie?
It's fresh change, always wearing a hoodie. Yeah. It's cute.
It's like Halloween every time
it's cute.
You...
cute. It's like he's got a little jacket on. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a little wrapper.
He doesn't even need to wear pants. I mean, really, it's covered.
It's got that much skin.
Yeah, it's covered up.
Yeah. Anybody need an extra blanket?
It's like a sock puppet. It's fine.
See, that's cute. Yeah, Iceland breaks taboo with world's largest pizza. Listen to me, I can't stop thinking of food.
I love pizza.
Penis museum. Size doesn't matter as Atlantic Phallological Museum. Never said that in my life.
Fa-la-la-la-la.
Yeah, get in the Christmas spirit.
Well, it's very Christmassy around here, I must say.
Yeah, my wife's doing everything.
Yeah, it's ridiculously Christmas.
And, well, she's going away, so she wants to do it all.
Oh, have it ready when she comes back.
Yeah, like tomorrow night, I got to put the fucking lights up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, fat guy on a ladder. That's always fun. You know, wobble, wobble, wobble. I'm going to fucking kill myself.
Wobble, baby.
Put some icicle lights up.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good husband.
Exactly. Icelandic Phallological Museum, home to the world's largest collection of penises, which has an eye-watering array of specimens carefully collected from hundreds of different animals.
Well, at least they have something in Iceland because...
Well, it's beautiful.
All animal penises.
Well...
I was thinking it was human. Yeah, I mean, I was.
That'd be a small one. This is a black guy's penis. This is a Mexican. This is a white guy. French, Chinese.
Oh, you know. He's getting smaller.
Yeah, exactly. It looks like
Oh, well, he's half Russian. I forgot to tell you. He's not just
French.
Oh,
is he? Yeah, okay. Russian. Well, then he's got like
that evens it out a little bit.
He's got like some Chernobyl penis. It's like it glows in the dark. I wasn't living there that long. Preserved in formaldehyde inside huge plexiglass cases at the museum entrance. It is 1.7 meters tall and weighs 75 kilograms or 165 pounds. Wow, this is, oh, okay.
The penis of what?
I thought they were talking about mine. I'm like, I still got mine.
yeah, how'd they get that?
One patron said, I came to see if it was true that there was a, really was a museum in Reykjavik, America's tourist Jerry Anderson told the news, smiling as he stared at the phallus of a sperm whale, the largest specimen in the museum. 5 feet, 6 inches, and weighing 165 pounds.
A fish has a penis? I never knew. A whale?
A whale's not a fish. It's a mammal. Oh. It breathes air. And, you know, that's one of my jokes. You know, the largest penis.
Oh, that's right. It comes up to get the air.
Yeah.
That's why it comes out. Okay.
Yeah. And it, you can't, you know, this is.
I'm getting dumber as I drink more of my Diet Pepsi.
Yeah? Is that all it takes?
It gets me lightheaded.
Yeah?
7-Eleven gulper.
Well, it was 7-Eleven. The guy gave you an ISIS little mix there. He tried to, you know. Yeah. But the blue whale. Mm. The blue whale is the largest penis. It's got like a 9-foot cock.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's one of the jokes. I said, could you imagine what the black whale's packing? You know. And, you know, well, he never measured it because he always got there late for the measurement. And
okay.
And his cock was
I missed that joke.
But yeah, I didn't do it in the 4 minutes.
I don't want Anthony to hear that one.
No?
Yeah. You know,
okay.
I don't want him to do that one. He'll get. He's in the Catholic school, though.
Who could resist coming to a penis museum, said 62-year-old Kim, a tourist from Canada who's a known whore. We thought it would be hilarious, she said, bursting out laughing as she and her friends fondled all the penises.
Get out of here. Wow.
No, they weren't.
Those Canadian women.
They were just taking photos with them.
It's always the quiet ones.
Yeah. But Reykjavik is beautiful. You got volcanoes there. It's, you know.
Volcanoes.
It's like they got these hot springs. You can, like, you're actually on a mountaintop and snow all over the place and you jump in the water and it's like. It's like a fucking tub.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Hot springs. It's beautiful. I did that once in Costa Rica. Went to this place on the side of a live volcano.
Right.
And they had like the hot springs coming down from there.
Nice. I saw a volcano erupt one time.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm not talking about sex either.
I was going to say.
In Stromboli.
I had the window open when I took a shower earlier when you got here?
It's an active volcano, though. It erupts every day, pretty much. But it was cool.
Shit kind of falls out
the
side.
You saw it, like, and you could hear it, and we were, I don't know how many miles off. We could see it.
Yeah. When I was in Costa Rica, this place, you see the shit coming out and rolling down. And
right.
Like, wow. And then it was like a week later, that same place, the thing fucking burped. You're like, you know. And like two people got killed.
Oh, shit.
Could you imagine? It's like, hey, it's beautiful. Look, we're on a live volcano. Yeah. Oh, fuck. It rolled
burped.
Over.
Oh,
that's right.
God.
Just fucking farted.
Yeah, a little gassy.
Yeah, I wonder if you want to take your kids to the penis museum. Like, you know, like the school kids.
Oh, boy.
I wonder if that'd be a good idea. You know?
That would be an unforgettable trip for them. Absolutely.
Right?
Field trip, you know?
The one girl, like a girl sees a 9-foot, you know, sperm whale penis, and then all of a sudden now she goes back to school and they teach her about, you know, sex ed.
Right.
And she's like, okay, and the man's going to put his penis. No.
No, I know.
You know, never. Ah! I'm going to be gay. I'm going to sign up for softball.
Is that how lesbians got started? They visited the penis museum.
That's right. That's how they
Absolutely.
All got started. Now, do you think let me ask you, you're a woman, do you think that some women just turn gay? Mm-hmm. I don't know if guys
yes.
turn gay. I think guys.
Yes.
But I think there's a lot of women that say, I'm too fucking ugly.
Honestly, no, well, that's not it. Here's my theory. I believe that many people are born, they're born that way.
Yeah.
But I think there's some, I can't speak for men. I think there's some women who just say, screw this.
Right.
And they try the other side. Seriously.
Yeah.
I've thought about it. That's how I know.
I've seen
and I'm not gay.
I've seen a lot of it happen. I believe it. My ex-fiance was regular. And
regular. Yeah.
She had normal bowel movements.
Normal periods. And,
yeah. And you know, and then she, you know, the last year or two of our relationship, she, you know, it was nice. But then she, you know, then she was you know, then it's really, I tell people, don't ever do, guys like, I want my girl to sleep with another girl. And I said, don't do it, because you're opening Pandora's box, man.
Literally. Or Bree's box.
Yeah. And you are, and next thing you know, and it's one thing if a dude's trying to pick up your girl, because then you go up to him and beat the fuck, you know, hey, dude, what the fuck?
Or you watch and, you know.
But when a chick does it, you know, these lesbians are tough. They're like, when they were trying to put their meat hooks into my lady, you know. I told one
really?
One night, yeah, I'm at a party, man. Wow. And this one girl says, no, she's staying here tonight.
Wow.
And I go, no way, man, I'm going home with my girl. No I said, dude,
they were gonna pull her in.
Yeah,
that was it.
I said, dude,
they did pull her in.
I said, if you don't open that door, if you don't let my girl out, I'm gonna knock you the fuck out.
Wow.
And the girl's like, oh yeah. And
she was in a lesbian dungeon.
Yeah. No.
Shit.
It was terrible.
Wow.
Actually, was, you know, it used to be fun, but then, you know, now I'm the one who's being, now the minute you show any resistance,
right,
much, you know, you show any resistance, like, okay, then that's what they do, they pushed you out, you know. So I've seen a lot of it.
Right.
I've seen girls that, you know, like, I remember they'd hang out, there's one girl, like, oh, her boyfriend broke up with her, and they're like, oh, he's a dick, and I'm sitting around,
the power of the pussy,
they're all sitting there, like, right. Oh, guys are assholes, this, and I'm saying, hey, I'm sitting right here,
done.
They're like, just making guys look like dumbasses,
right.
So, ladies, guys, be careful. If you know, it's one thing if a girl's got a gay guy friend.
Right.
You know, girls like to have a gay guy friend.
Yeah, because they're not going to try to have sex with you.
No.
They're just going to, you know.
Yeah, it's like having a parrot.
They'll just want to give your husband a blowjob. Yeah, that's about it.
You know, a gay guy next to a beautiful woman's like a pirate's parrot. Yeah, you know, it really is. It
right.
says things that it wants it to hear.
Exactly.
It looks pretty and colorful.
We love them. They
you
love
know what
us.
I mean? They kind of help with the scene.
Exactly.
Like,
everybody's
hey, there's
happy.
A pirate, and look at that fucking colorful bird next to him.
Nice.
Hey, there's a hot chick. Look at that fucking, you know, flamboyant gay guy
right.
next to it. Same thing. Sometimes I make weird comparisons.
I love gay guys.
I really
do. Yes. I really, really do. I'm very attracted to guys who are more feminine than masculine.
Right.
I think just more, and I just feel like, no insult to anybody out there, but just more evolved maybe with their sensuality.
Right.
Or maybe, you know, I don't think they're gay. I don't think they're bisexual. I know they're not bisexual, but
they're comfortable.
They're just more
like if you
feminine.
See, like if you see a guy in a pink shirt, that kind of turns you on.
I love when guys wear pink shirts.
I
love that.
Yeah. I remember in high school, I had like the pink polo.
Yeah.
Like a surfer guy.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you're gay. You know, and all the girls like, he looks great. And that was like the first time I started wearing pink and purple.
Exactly.
You know, the girls loved it. So, you know, I don't care if the guys don't like it.
It works. If you can be in touch with a girl sensitivity-wise, it's, you're winning.
Yeah, so girls, what do you think? The old saying is a sense of humor. Girls love a guy with sense of humor.
I love it. That's not why I'm in this business, but
now you were saying before, you're 1 year in your relationship, like me, my wife's really great. She doesn't, you know, I go out, I go to shows, I do this.
Yeah,
she's
been
real supportive. Our friend John Levine, who's been on the show, you met John Levine.
I know John very well.
He started dating a girl, and a couple weeks into it, the blonde chick.
I kept calling her Candy, but that wasn't her name. But we'll call her Candy.
They were like in love for like a week or two.
Yeah, they were so in love,
right?
Weren't they?
And then
she was like every show.
Yeah.
She was at everyone. And
exactly.
You see her eyes like when he says things. It's hilarious.
Yeah, and you know, he was probably like one of the hottest pieces of ass he had
in
a while.
She was very pretty.
Right.
Yes.
And he was like,
and smart.
But. Yeah, and you know, but then you could tell. But he's a smart guy too, and he knows what he's doing.
Super
but she was,
smart guy.
But she was like, but she would say like, oh, every time we go out, we're gonna go to a comedy club.
Yeah,
you know. And he's like, well, what the fuck? You want me to go? What do you want to go?
Right.
Goonie golf.
Yeah,
you know. So that's what happens. You date a comic.
That's
you know, like it's a weird one. I'm not working. Like sometimes, like I purposely didn't schedule much in November this month because my wife is gonna go away and it's her birthday this month. So I was like, all right. So you know, you go out to eat.
Sure.
You know, you go to a movie.
Boring.
Yeah, you know.
You're like, I could be watching comedy writing.
Yeah, and I can't look at Facebook because then I see my friends. Hey, here at the improv.
Yeah.
I know. And you're like, fuck, I'm watching, you know.
And you actually feel like you feel bad, like you're not going to work or something. You feel like a loser, like you're not moving forward.
You feel unproductive.
Yeah, unproductive, that's the word.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Well, it's interesting.
That's how I feel.
That's how the life is.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Here's the story. When pigs fly, porcine parts presumably scatter on highway, Sarasota, Florida, right here. Police say the carcasses of what appeared to be several dead hogs.
Oh, my God.
Tumbled off a truck in one Florida city, snarling two lanes of busy interstate during the morning's rush hour.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Yeah, you imagine driving down the street and see big pig parts flying around.
Can you imagine if you're like a real Hasidic Jew driving behind that truck? Oh, shit. Pigs hitting the,
oh God.
Hitting the truck. That would be like a
nightmare.
They would
convert the next day.
Oh, God.
Authorities say drivers backed up 6 miles on the stretch of Interstate 75 in Sarasota after the stinking animal remains scattered over the three northbound lanes.
Bacon for everybody.
That's right. Lieutenant Gregory Bueno, who didn't feel bueno that day, of the Florida Highway Patrol said Wednesday that the two affected lanes were closed nearly 2 hours while emergency crews got lettuce and tomatoes to add to the paper, to the bread. Yeah.
A little barbecue sauce.
That's right. You like pork?
No.
No?
I don't. You know what? It's weird. Like, I like ribs sometimes. I'm not a big meat person, but just the smell of ham, it just smells like.
Yeah.
Sometimes. It smells like a wet dog to me.
Meat. Yeah.
I don't know. I can't explain it. It smells like a dog.
I like ham, ham cheese ham. But I don't like ham, like, you know, baked ham. I'm like a big ham guy. I love bacon.
Well,
you know?
I like bacon. See, that's the thing. Sometimes it tastes weird to me. It's weird.
Yeah. I love bacon. Yeah, you know, I love it crispy.
Who doesn't like bacon?
Yeah.
Really?
Just saying. Here's a study. Clean getaway. Police seek Pennsylvania detergent thief. Yeah. Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Oh.
The Pennsylvania State Police are hoping to prevent a detergent thief from making a clean getaway. Troopers say an unidentified man loaded up his shopping cart with more than a dozen 150-ounce bottles of laundry detergent.
It is expensive. What kind was it?
Yeah. It wasn't Tide, was it? Tuesday, then left the Giant food store in South Hanover Township without paying. Police say the man drove away in a dark gray sport utility vehicle. But once he puts all that soap on it, it'll probably be light gray.
Right.
Police say that happened around 3:20 a.m. Then now, you know, this guy says, I got this great fucking idea. I'm going to steal all this soap.
Soap.
I'm going to steal a lifetime supply of soap so I never have to fucking bring the change or use money. You know, just worry about that when I do my laundry.
He probably got pissed off. It's expensive. Do you ever buy do the shopping?
I don't buy that shit.
It's expensive, all that kind of stuff.
That's a weird thing. Like, my
wife, you have to use it.
My wife buys all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So I don't know. Like, if I was on The Price is Right, they'd be like, how much is this bar of soap? I'm like, I don't know. 48 cents? You know, Drew Carey would be like, what are you, an idiot? I'm like, I don't fucking shop, dude.
No.
That would be the way it'd be on that.
Yeah, my husband has no clue. How do you spend so much on groceries?
Yeah.
And I'm a bargain shopper. I'm like, you have no clue. It's double this amount.
Yeah, I don't do, like in 2010 when I left the bank, I had the VP job as a vice president of financial, you know, bank and this and that.
Wow.
Yeah, I was a big dude.
Wait, you're a financial guy.
Right. Yeah, I was a VP at this big major bank. And, I said, I was so sick of it. I don't ever want to look at a check. I don't want to, you know what I mean? I don't ever want to worry about this shit. You know what I mean? So she's been paying the bills ever since. And which is, you know, what we had a conversation with them. I'm like, that's like, there's a lot of people that wouldn't do that. You know, they wouldn't hand over.
No, they wouldn't.
That responsibility.
No.
So I don't like, that's why I'm saying, that's why I don't give a shit.
Right.
I don't ask about money.
Yeah. I'm with you.
I don't ask about how you do it, what you do it. I'm just assuming everything's done correctly.
Right.
But don't ask me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
To pay for anything.
I wish that was possible.
Don't ask me to pay for anything.
I wish that was possible.
Just give me the money. Yeah, the guy still has to pay. Too bad.
Well, you know, I don't mind it. I've always been a chivalrous
guy.
He's
a real man.
Yeah? And you're a French guy? He's a real...
You're a real man.
Oh.
I know Dougie.
Yeah.
I know him for a couple of years.
Yeah, I'm a
stand-up. He's a great guy.
Yeah, well, I can't say I'm a stand-up guy. That's someone else's line.
Oh.
New York school bus driver scolded for favoring Trump supporters. Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I tweeted today. They were taking Trump's name off a building in New York that he leases or whatever.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm like, how? You know, most presidents get their names put on buildings.
Right.
He's getting them fucking yanked off already.
Yeah.
And Canandaigua, New York.
Canandaigua. It's near where I'm from, baby.
Up north. Up there in northern upstate New York,
yeah,
as I say.
Yeah, it's very close to where I'm from, like 10 minutes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did I say Canandaigua?
Canandaigua. Yeah.
See, this is amazing. It's one thing I love about the show. I would have never known that
Canandaigua.
Place.
I know Canandaigua. It's
I know
beautiful.
Oswego. I know Glens Falls.
Yes.
Or Glen Falls, whatever it is. A bus driver for an upstate New York school district is in trouble for allowing students who would have voted for Donald Trump to exit the vehicle before the children who would have voted for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, that's what did it right there.
The Canandaigua City School District said the incident occurred 2 days after Trump defeated Clinton in the presidential election. Administrators say the bus driver held a mock election by asking elementary school students who they thought or who would have voted for last Tuesday. After the show of hands, the driver let the kids who voted for Trump off first. Capitalism at its best. Those who raised their hands for Clinton were driven to a park and shot.
Oh, God.
No, they just got let off the bus last.
Right. They were seated in the back of the bus for the rest of the year also. They're not allowed to sit in the front.
And all those kids, when they're getting off the bus, like, this isn't fair. We're just as important as those other first ones, you know. I want you to, you know, somebody help me. I'm upset.
Oh, yeah. They were crybabies.
Yeah. Just, you know, get over it. Although it is concerned. Listen, I admit I'm a Trump supporter. You know, I'm a Republican. I'm tired of, you know, and somebody asked me the other day. I said, look, let me just be this straight with you. The Division of Labor is a government agency that's almost trying to fuck my industry. They're trying to shut us down in a sense. They're trying to make financial planning just go away in a sense,
because
they're trying to make us all look like thieves and stuff, and tell us how much money we can get paid. So I don't want that.
I understand.
So they can go fuck themselves. You know what I mean? That's the way I feel.
I understand. I'm an independent, everybody.
Yeah.
And that's what I just go by the candidate. And so it was very tough for me, which it always is, because politicians, they're all, you know, full of
shit.
What
are you going to do?
You know?
But I voted for Clinton back in the day, so I'm not staunch to my party either.
I understand.
If I like somebody, I'll vote one way or the other.
Originally, years ago, I started as Republican because I thought as a kid that's what I was.
Right.
And then I turned to a Democrat. And about 10 years ago, I said, I'm really an independent.
Right.
You know? So that's what I've been.
That's right.
That's it. C'est ça.
That's it. Well, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Again, I want to thank Jillian Chapon for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Dougie.
You got it. And G. David Howard also for joining us tonight. And you got some things coming up?
Yeah, just a couple things coming up. December 3rd, the VFW West Palm Beach post 2007 with Mike Tavkar. Dougie, this is for a veterans show. All the benefits always go to the veterans.
Right.
And he's looking forward to having you on the show again soon, Mike Tavkar. He
loves
you.
Cool.
We got Pavarello coming up. It's another show for the community, for help the less fortunate. We're going to feed 3,000 people who don't have any food for the holidays. Pavarello. Check it out on my website, Jillian Comedy.
Nice.
Thank you so much, Dougie.
You got it, guys. And go to my website, DougieAlmeida.com. I got some dates. I'm going to Titusville and Melbourne over the next 2 weeks. And follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Dougie Dangerous. Follow the show on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. Join our fan page as well. Thanks for listening, guys. And we'll be back with all new shows next week. We appreciate you listening. We'll see you here next week right at the same spot. Take care.
People on the earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they traveled through the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. There beam of light hit the ground.